this phrase look familiar to you? All right, this is going to be our lesson today. See, the Bible tells us there are things to which we should distance ourselves, but it also tells us things where we need to be in close proximity. So we're going to make the application here. See, knowing the difference will have a bearing on your eternal destiny. See, this past year has been bringing many challenges to us. It has definitely been probably a very unique for all of us having to deal with all these things. And one of the phrases we've learned is social distancing. Yeah, that started last year. They started talking about it. And of course, we know there's a reason why. And of course, the supposed purpose is to keep us safe from the dangerous virus. And so we are not close enough to transmit or catch the illness. I mean, so keep your distance and save lives is what they say. All right, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, it reads, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So even God established that principle of social and spiritual distancing for a reason. See, when you talk about being unequally yoked, a yoke is a farm implement. It's fitted on the necks of two oxen or two mules, binding them together so they can pull a plow or wagon or some other device. And being yoked puts two animals in close proximity, going the same direction and doing the same work. And that's what we're talking about here. And so for this reason, a farmer using a yoke would choose two animals of equal size, strength, and even the same species to do the work. And so, even the principle of taking an ox and a donkey and putting a yoke on them is not going to work. I mean, they're nothing alike, and one is stronger than the other, one is taller than the other, and it will not work. And they'll tell you that. So, two of the same kind are needed. And of course, what one can do by itself, two can do, I mean, three times as much as what one can do. So, yes, there is advantage to that. Sometimes even can do double. So, otherwise it would not work. See, one stronger, taller, or walk with a different movement. So, a yoke would not work unless they are the same. See, 1 Corinthians 5, 9, Paul says, "I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people." How can we avoid that here? How can we avoid that? Because practically everybody out there is an immoral person. Very few are righteous as far as God's standards go. So how can we avoid associating with immoral people? Really, we can't. But we've got to make sure that they don't influence us to become immoral. We've got to work to try and influence them to become moral people. See, 1 Corinthians 10, 21, "You cannot drink out of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." You have to make a choice. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to do things the way God tells you to do, or you're going to do it the way man tells you to do? In Ephesians 5, 7, as we read, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Don't be partakers with them. I mean, we know they're immoral. We know they do things. We know they don't respect God. They really don't care about anything other than themselves. And so we don't need to be sharing with them. See, Ephesians 5:11, and do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead even expose them. I mean, that's the problem nowadays. When you expose the evil works of darkness, you're going to get chewed out by a lot of people. You may even get your account suspended if you speak the truth. And so we know that those are things that are going to take place. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, he reads, furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. And God was speaking of the inhabitants of the land. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. Why? Well, they don't believe in God. They worship the idols. And so, God wanted to keep his people pure because he knew the influence that these pagans would have on his people. And you want to see that? Just look what happened to Solomon. He married all these wives and they got him to start bowing down before the idols, and they turned his heart against God. And there's many others we could mention here. And so God had certainly warned us about mixing and associating with those who are not faithful to him. There is definitely a warning there. And he warns us that they could influence us away from him. We always have to be aware of that danger. And sometimes we want to keep our friendship with these people, and we keep telling ourselves, well, I'm not going to get involved in their sin. I'm not going to do that. And maybe you can do that, but it's highly unlikely. I mean, we'll speak of that in just a little bit. See, Apostle Paul gave the Corinthians and us a severe warning about keeping our spiritual distance from sinners. See, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to inform the brethren that their companions may not be the best people for them to be around. And we know that's the case. And we have some warnings from Solomon that we need to pay attention to. Like in Proverbs 4:14-15, says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Don't follow the path of the wicked. And then, of course, you realize that, well, wherever we go, I mean, somebody might interpret that and say, well, you can't get on the freeway because those people are wicked. And you can't get on the freeway and follow them. That's not what it's talking about. And everybody has enough common sense to figure that out. Don't do what they do. Don't talk like they talk. And don't behave like they behave. That's what he's saying. See, in Psalm 1:1, very similar passage says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I mean, very similar language there. And these words tell us not to associate with sinners, not to associate with those who are not Christians. See, in the New Testament, we say if we are around sinners for the purpose of teaching them the gospel, well, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. But when was the last time you were in the presence of a sinner and you brought up Christ? You brought up the church. You brought up salvation that can only be found through obedience to Christ. When was the last time you did that? You can probably have to think long and hard, and some of you probably have never done that before. And you should have. When we're around sinners, we should be guiding them towards the true light, Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, now that's not going to make us popular. We know that. In fact, people are going to start making fun of us if we start doing that. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a guiding light to this world around us. And so there is another warning that we need to focus upon. All right, Proverbs 22:24-25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. This is why we don't hang around the wicked, because we pick up their ugly habits. We pick up their dealings, whatever they're doing. And they think nothing of it, and it'll get to the point where we think nothing of it. And they think nothing of it if you join in and participate with them. They really don't care about that. And so the influence of others is great and can cause us to lose our souls. And you ask the question, is it worth it? Well, for the temporary moment, you got to weigh this question out, just like Paul did. This temporary existence, all this suffering we're going through, what's it going to produce for us? And if we decide to make things easy, we follow the path of least resistance, we're going to be off of the path, we're going to be off of the narrow path that Jesus told us to strive to be on. So that is why Paul wrote about your companions in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil companions corrupt good morals. And we know that's pretty much the case. It is very rare. Now, it's not impossible. It is very rare that a good moral person can get someone who is evil to change their ways and become moral. I mean, that's extremely rare. And it's not likely going to happen. Probably out of 100 cases, maybe 2 or 3 might work out that way. But that means they're 97, 98, 99%, they're just going to become immoral if they hang around immoral people. And that is a warning we need to take heed to. And the problem is these people whom God considers wicked, they're not trying to get you to heaven. I mean, that should be your first indicator right there. If they're not doing anything to help you get to heaven, if they're not saying, well, let's sit down and pray for a while, let's sit down and study the Bible for a while, let's sit down and learn what God is all about and what He wants from us. If your friends are not doing that with you, it's not good. They're not helping you get to heaven. And really, if you thought about it, the people you consider your friends, do they really care if you go to heaven or not? I mean, you got to be honest with yourself. I mean, the only people who really care if you're going to heaven or not are right here in this room. I mean, think about that. This is the only place you're going to have people and a group of people who really care about your soul and want you to go to heaven. Because we know that God wants you to go to heaven. Christ died so that you can go to heaven. And that's what we need to be doing, is helping each other get to heaven. And so these people who are wicked, most likely they are not going to turn around and become righteous, but they're going to drag you away. And they will more than likely cause you to stumble and turn away from God than you turning them away from their evil ways. Now, these people, they could be close friends, they could be buddies, schoolmates, could be people in your own household who are doing these things to you. And if you're really not paying attention, you don't think about these things. See, humans are social creatures, and we tend to adapt to whomever we are around. And perhaps you've noticed this. One person gets around, they start talking dirty language, and everybody else is doing the same thing, talking just as bad as they are. And that's the only way they feel they can fit in. I mean, if you get around a group of guys that are drinking on Friday night, well, the only way you're going to fit in is if you join them. And otherwise, you're not going to be very comfortable. They won't feel comfortable around you. And so, yeah, you have to make some decisions, and you're not going to do that, because God said with every temptation He provides a way of escape. And yes, He does that. See, we crave acceptance, and for most, the only way to be accepted is to become like them. When you think about it, the only way you can be really friends with these people is to be just like them. See, humans do not like being the oddball or the strange ones. Yes, sometimes we are. And because most of the others will make fun of them and ridicule them in front of others. And we don't like that. We don't like to be made a spectacle. We don't like people to be picking on us. We don't like people pointing at us and saying, look at that idiot. I mean, that's just what others will do to you. And sadly, I think most of our young people have not been warned properly, and many of them turn to the world for approval rather than seeking the approval of God. We talked about the approval of God couple months ago now. But how do we get God's approval? The only way to get God's approval is by doing what he says. That's the only way it's going to happen. And our young people, they want the approval of the world. In other words, become like the world. And so, yeah, sure, we all have acquaintances that we'd like to be around more. And hopefully we have the desire that maybe we can rub off on them and give them some good influences and some things to consider that possibly they might start seeking the Lord. And that's what we really want. And we should be trying to influence them to become Christians. But try this, if you have friends, ask them to go to church with you and see what happens. See how their behavior changes. See how their words change that they use towards you. And see if they start making fun of you or picking on you. I mean, just ask them to go to church with you. Ask them, hey, how about if we just sit down and have a Bible study here? What's going to happen? Well, I really don't need to get into that because you know exactly what's going to happen. And that's probably why you don't do anything like that. See, if they make it clear they have no interest in becoming a Christian, all I can say is it's time to evaluate the time you spend trying to convert them. I mean, realize you might have more success teaching someone else. And people are going to be that way. People are stubborn. People are self-willed, and some say, I will not, just plain and simple. Well, guess what? There are people out there seeking God. He said there is. You know, John 4:21, there are those out there who are seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth. What God wants us to do is to find them and guide them. That's what we as Christians are supposed to do, is find them and guide them. So if the person you consider a friend actively trying to help you get to heaven, if they are, then they are a true friend. If they're trying to help you get to heaven, and really, and when you think of your circle of friends, where are you going to find those people? Right here. Right here is where you're going to find those people. See, if your friend is not trying to help you get to heaven, they're really not your friend. Or you have just learned their ways in which the Lord is not pleased. So you're either going to turn away from God and join them in the ways of the world, or you're going to go find another friend. And yes, there are people who we need to keep our distance from. Definitely, we do need to keep our distance from people. Sometimes we use the phrase toxic people. People who are basically totally negative all the time, and it doesn't matter if we try and teach them or not, they're still going to be saying bad things to us and about us. See, getting back to our text, though, about not being unequally yoked, there are people who we definitely need in our lives. I mean, let's face it. We do not fellowship darkness, but we are to encourage to fellowship light. That's where we need to be, to fellowship light. And we know Jesus is the true light, and his followers are children of light, as we read there in Ephesians chapter 5. And so we're to walk as children of light. We're supposed to live in such a way that we let our light shine and guide others towards seeking God and seeking heaven. And so that's what we need to be doing. And Paul explained that in verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And the version Joey was reading from says, live as children of light. And that's appropriate. The word walk in the New Testament just about all the time means your conduct, the way you behave, the way you live. And so that's very appropriate. We're to live as children of light. See, and sadly, out of fear, many who claim to be children of light are keeping their distance from the faithful. Have you noticed that? I mean, this is not just a phenomenon taking place here. I mean, we've let it be known to all of our membership. There's plenty of room in this building. We have enough room. You can be socially distant, and if you don't want to touch anybody, that's fine. We respect that. If you don't want to get near somebody, guess what? We got a whole half a building you can sit in. But yet they have chosen to remain distant from the faithful. I mean, they have no problem going to Walmart. They have no problem taking trips. They have no problem going out and doing what they want to do and going to restaurants and things like that. But when it comes to being with the faithful of God, they've chosen to distance themselves. I mean, that's exactly the type of people the Hebrew writer was talking about when he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some. And it's getting that way. Now, they're out there screaming, well, it's a safety issue. There has to be a deeper meaning than that. And I'm saying there is a deeper meaning. They say it's a safety issue, and yet you look on their social media pages, here they are flying off to Vegas, flying off to other places, taking vacations and having parties and having people over their house. Oh, it's a safety issue. We don't want to get exposed. What can you say to that? What I can say is the only people on the earth that care about your soul are those in the local church. And we have to realize that. We have to know that. They care. We have to realize that. And these are the people you need to be around and learn from and follow their example. As Paul said, the example is the older ones to teach the younger ones. And the older men teach the younger men. The older women teach the younger women. We're here to help each other live our lives in such a way that God is pleased. That's what we're here for. And that's what we encourage people to do. See, the Bible warns us to stay away from the wicked. And that basically wicked is anyone not a Christian. And sadly, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they're not. They're fakes. They don't really believe the Bible. Oh, they call themselves a Christian because it's popular to do. But they talk just like the world. They act like the world. And they'll do whatever they can just like the rest of the world is going to do. And they won't take a stand for Christ. See, those we associate with should be Christians. And if they are not Christians, we should be trying to teach them to become Christians. And I'm saying true Christians. We should be trying that. Whoever we're around, as we have the opportunity, we need to teach them and let them know, I believe in God, and I serve the Lord God, and I have the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life, which you can't find anywhere else in this world outside of Christ. And Christ is where all the blessings are. So we have to be aware of that. And Paul was right to warn us about our companions and where they are leading us. And if we had any brains, if we had any sense, we would really open up our eyes and pay attention to what's going on. Because there's people leading us that are leading us in the wrong direction, leading us down the wrong pathway. And we don't want that to happen. That's why we have to be resolved to do the right thing and follow the Christ. So spiritual distancing from evil is required for the Christian, but we should not be distancing from the faithful. I mean, that's just something we just have to understand. We should not be doing that. And so we think about these things, and we recognize our needs. We recognize what we need to do, And sometimes we just need to say, I need help. Sometimes we need to do that. But like I say, I challenge you. Ask your friends to come to church with you. Ask your friends to study the Bible with you. Ask your family members and see how they react. That'll tell you everything you need to know, whether they're worth keeping or whether you can find someone who is worth keeping, someone who would appreciate so much the opportunity to serve God faithfully. So consider those thoughts. That's our lesson. We're going to end it there. We do offer the invitation all the time to give you the opportunity to make things right with God if you need to do so. We certainly encourage you to do so. All together, we stand and sing.